To the book of Genesis, chapter 11. The book of Genesis, chapter 11 tonight. Genesis, chapter number 11 tonight. We'll get right here in the Word of God. What a blessing. Good to see all of you here. If you're visiting with us tonight, good to have Brother Rick with us tonight in from Los Angeles, where he's been a citywide meeting. And thank God for good to see Brother Rick. All of you that are visiting with us tonight, we're glad that you're here, and you just make yourself at home. Genesis, chapter 11. Tonight, I want you to do me a favor. I'm going to preach a little bit different tonight. I'm going to preach what we call a character study. And we're going to study one of the greatest men in the Bible, Abraham. So we'll slow down a little bit tonight, and I'm going to give you an overview of the life of Abraham. The title of the message is, When God Finds a Man. When God Finds a Man. Genesis 11, verse 26. And please hold your Bibles open here to these several chapters in the book of Genesis. The life of Abraham goes all the way from Genesis 11 all the way to about 22 or 3, somewhere along in there. And look with me, if you will, at verse 26. One of the greatest stories and character studies in all of the Word of God. 11:26. And Terah lived 70 years and begot Abram. Abram is Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. Now, somebody said, why did God change Abram's name to Abraham? This happened many times in the Bible. Many times in the Bible, when a man had an encounter with God, it not only changed his life and direction, it changed his name. Brother, you talk about all things become new, man's name got changed. Or, if you want it like country preachers put it, Mays Jackson said, he's called Abraham, and he started tithing, and God put the ham on. Amen? That sounds good enough to me. Amen? Abraham. You start tithing, God might give you a little ham. But anyway, his name was changed. Like Saul, when he met the Lord, was changed to Paul. And God, many times God did this. Jacob to Israel, and things like that. Abraham. And so tonight, I want to preach about when God finds a man. Amen? Now listen, God is always looking for a man. All the way through the Bible tonight, the Bible teaches us that God is looking for a man. Over in Ezekiel 22 and verse 30, He's not looking for a group. He's not looking for a committee, thank God. He's looking for a man. And what's wrong with most churches tonight, they are run and led by groups and committees instead of men that God's plan wasn't to be ordained to start with. Somebody said, well, preacher ain't supposed to run the church. Well, I'm going to tell you something else. A deacon sure ain't supposed to, and a committee sure ain't supposed to. I'd show you in the Bible where every time God wanted something done, He called a man, and then God called that man and ordained that man to do the work that God gave him to do. I didn't write it. I'm just telling you what it is. Somebody said that a camel was actually a horse put together by a Baptist committee. They said this, a committee is a group. Here's what a committee is. A group of the unfit, appointed by the unwilling, to do the unnecessary, to read the minutes and waste the hours. That's right. Amen. Somebody put up on the church sign one time, for God so loved the world that He did not send a committee. I know church, they got a committee for everything. They got a parking lot committee. They've got a bathroom committee. They've got a toilet paper committee. I mean, they've got a flower committee. And nobody can't buy a roll of toilet paper unless the toilet paper committee meets and approves it and has to have 6 months advance to do that. And check out price. I heard about one church that sat and argued in a business meeting for an hour and a half over whether to buy a new lawnmower for the church. Amen? And I thought, well, if you need a lawnmower, buy it. I don't know what you'd talk about for an hour and a half. If you need it, buy it. If you don't. If you got the money, go pay. If you can't, don't worry about it. Forget it. It couldn't take more than 30 seconds. But that's what a committee does. Just read the minutes and waste the hours and try to act spiritual and so they don't have to win souls, you know, and just act like they're doing something for God. One 1/4 of the book of Genesis tonight is dedicated to the story and life of Abraham. Somebody said his life was from paganism to the friend of God. According to James chapter 2:23, he's a mountaintop, valley, victories, and defeated. God make matures and mold him to be the father of those that believe. And God, when he finds a man tonight, he does it like a potter and the clay. You know the story of the potter and the clay? He does this, and here's the outline of the message tonight. First of all, he discovered the clay. And then he took it in workshop and detached the clay, one piece, and held it in his hand. Then he began to develop the clay by pounding it and wetting it and softening it and putting pressure from the wheel over it. And then finally, he displayed his man. And that's the way God does. And we'll see first of all tonight how God discovered his man. Here in verse number 26, Bible said that Terah lived 70 years and begot Abram. God knows the end from the beginning. God knows the first from the last. We do not always understand God's call, but God chose Abraham for his ministry, just like Jeremiah was chosen for the ministry. You do not choose the ministry. You are chosen for the ministry. And I can prove that by the scripture. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight, brother. Anybody can get saved. It's whosoever will. But as far as the ministry concerned, you don't just up and decide, I'm going to be a preacher or I'm going to be in the ministry. You are chosen for the ministry. I'll never forget, I had been saved. Somebody asked me the other day. They said, Brother Danny, when did you start preaching? I said, I started preaching when I was 19 years old. That's all I've ever wanted to do since then. Even before then, when I was 19 years old. Somebody said, well, where'd you learn how to preach? Who told you I know how? Somebody had I'm still stabbing at it. I don't know if I'll ever figure out how to do it or not. Somebody said, well, who taught you how to preach? Nobody teaches you how to preach. You don't learn how to preach. You don't go to school to learn how to preach. You might go to school to learn the Bible, and the Bible said, but you might learn how to pray, but you don't learn how to preach. You learn how to pray, and then preaching just comes out of you. I remember I started preaching when I was 19, and I knew God wanted me to preach. I'll never forget. I was working over there in Lenore at that mill over there, working second shift. I was going down through there putting them little hooks on them loops of that cloth. And it was so loud in there you couldn't hear nothing. And I was going down through there, and I'd work down there, and I'd have my Bible up there, and it'd run about 15 minutes before you had to undo it. It was running strips of cloth about that long. And I'd go up here and I'd read my Bible. And then I'd go down through there and work on that machine. And while I was going down through there working on that machine, I could close my eyes and see crowds of people. And boy, I was just up a giving them down the road. I was a slinging my arms. I was a stomping. I was a hollering, a slinging snot and everything. And boy, I remember standing up there. Boy, I was a ripping and roaring. And I thought, boy, that'd be good. Boy, that'd be good. Somebody needs to say that. And it was just down in me. Like David said, his word was in my heart as a burning fire. And I thought a good sermon. I thought of all kind of good sermons. I can't think of none now. But I remember back then, I could think of great sermons. I thought, glory to God, Billy Graham needs to preach on that. Glory to God, Jack Hiles needs to hear my sermons. And I wasn't even called to preach yet. But it was building. It was building. God had his hand on me. I'm going to tell you something tonight. You've heard it said. But let me just nail it down again tonight. When God calls a man to the ministry, there is no greater calling on planet Earth than to stand behind this pulpit and preach the Word of God. This man right there. Somebody said, well, what about that preacher? What about Jesse Jackson running for president? Now, if you had his calling, you would be better off to be president. But if you had a real one, what about Pat, what's his name? Buchanan running for president. If God's really calling to preach, taking a step to be president would be a long step down. The highest calling on this planet tonight is to open that book right there and stand before the crowd and say, thus saith the Lord, and influence men toward God. God finds a man. He chooses him for the ministry. I can show you in Exodus 6 and verse 11, God told Moses, go speak unto Pharaoh. God told Gideon in Judges 7 and verse 3, go and proclaim. 1 Kings 21:18, God told Elijah, arise and go. Isaiah 6 and verse 9, go tell this people, he called Elijah. Jeremiah 1:4, before I formed thee, I sanctified you and ordained thee. Where Jeremiah was for, he is in his mama's womb. I'm glad Jeremiah's mama's mama. your mama's mama wasn't. Jeremiah's mama didn't believe in abortion. Amen. I'm glad Jeremiah's mama didn't believe in abortion, because God sanctified him and ordained him. I saw Bill O'Reilly chicken out the other night. He said, now right before he got right up to it, and he said, and that fetus, you know, before that thing's born, it's a fetus. Before it's born, it's a fetus. After it's born, it's a baby. Something happens right there in that split second that turns it in from a fetus to a baby. He's just chicken. He's chicken. He talks about being fair and balanced. Chicken! I'm telling you, brother, it's a baby over here, it's a baby over there. And God told Jeremiah, he said, when you was in your mama's womb, I called you, I sanctified you, I ordained you. And ladies and gentlemen, tonight, when God finds a man, God calls him to preach, and God ordains him. It doesn't matter if a man likes him. It doesn't matter if he has people's approval. It don't matter if the denominational headquarters likes him or not. If God's got his hand on a man, there ain't enough devils in hell to stop him preaching. You know what? I've had people try to stop me ever since I started. When I started that church in Marion, listen, y'all just think it's just happened down here when we come to Morgan. When I started the church in Marion, I went up there and looked at that old building on the hill, and I went and talked to the Walker brother about renting that building up there where New Manor started on that hill, and the preachers in Marion tried to get up a petition to stop it from taking place. They sure did. See, all this stuff that we're hearing now, that ain't new. It's always been like that. And I found out over the years, if God wants a man to preach, if God has a man in the ministry, you can't take him out. And if God don't want him in, you can't put him in. I've had preachers call me and say, you need to use brother so-and-so. He's trying to get a minister. I thought, if God wants to use him, that's fine. If God's using him, praise God. Hallelujah. But they're trying their best to make a man a ministry. Listen, if God calls a man to preach, you don't have to make him a ministry. He got a ministry. He's going to have a ministry. I'm telling you, God discovers man. He said, before I formed you, I sanctified you and ordained you. Amen. And give him a book to preach. He give him a book to preach. I'm glad we've got the Word of God. Amen. I can't stand up here tonight and argue on you on your own intellectual terms. There's a lot about evidence I don't know. I do know what the Bible says, and I got plenty of ammunition right here to shoot down any false doctrine that the world or the devil can come up with. You hear about that lady the other day? I heard about this lady the other day. She talking about how your Bible's powerful. And this woman, she's a real good Christian woman. This fella come in, broke in her house. And he broke in her house, going to, I guess, kill her or rob her or something like that. And she started screaming, Acts! She had her doctrine a little bit wrong, but her great verse was Acts 2.38. Repent and be baptized in Jesus Christ. She said, Acts 2.38! Acts 2.38! Acts 2.38! And they said that criminal just froze like that. And she called 911, and they come and arrested him. And every time he started to move, she said, Acts 2.38! And he just stood there scared to death. And they arrested him, took him to jail. They said, look, man, she's just a little old scrawny grandma, and you're a big old tough criminal. All she did is holler Bible verses at you. What made you so scared? He said, Bible verses? I thought she said you had an axe and 2.38. Yeah. Amen. I tell you what, that thing there, it's scarier than an axe and 2.38. Amen. I tell you, praise God, brother. Right, when God calls a man, he gives him a book to preach. He gives him a book to preach. He gives him a book to preach. How God discovered his man. I want to say secondly tonight, how God detached his man. If God's going to use a man, he's going to detach him. He's going to jerk him away from everything and set him over here by himself. And all you young preachers here tonight and young people, if God is going to use you, he's going to detach you. You say, what are you talking about? Look at chapter 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and will bless thee and make thy name great. Why does God always demand separation from everything we love and everything we care about? Every time God's ever called a man, listen people, you just don't know. I know I'm nothing tonight, but there's been many time when my family was doing something that I couldn't go, or they was having a family reunion and I couldn't be there, or when something special was having the kids that I couldn't be. If God's going to use you, He's going to detach you. God can't use a mama's boy. God can't use a mama's baby that has to stay under mama's coattail all the time. God will detach you. He don't want you to turn your back on your family, but He does want to detach you. You know what God did? He said in 2 Timothy 2:4, no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life. Some people, God can't use some guys. They got their hands in so much stuff and into so much thing. God can't use them. God's got to detach you. It's got to mean more to you than a business. It's got to mean more to you than a little money on the side. It's got to mean more to you. God had to detach his mind. God told him to detach from your country where he grew up, from his kinfolk and his kindred, from his father's house, from everything. He even had to detach from Lot. Lot with his nephew. And Abraham had to detach from Lot. He told Lot one day, he said, you go that way and I'll go the other way. If you go this way, I'll go that way. If you go that way, I'll go this way. He wasn't better than Lot, but God had to detach his man. But then let me say thirdly tonight, how God developed his man. Look at chapter 12, verse 21. Chapter 12, I'm sorry, not verse 21. There ain't no 21. All right, look here in verse 20. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him. They sent him away and his wife and all that he had. So God began to develop his man. Notice how God developed Abraham. He taught him how to pray in chapter 13 and verse 4. Look, under the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, if God's going to use you, you're going to have to learn how to pray. He taught him how to pray. He said he made an altar, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Amen. You know, the disciples came to the Lord one time, and they didn't say, Lord, teach us how to preach. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. You learn to pray, you won't have to learn how to preach. It'll come out of you. It might come out sideways, but it'll come out. I'm telling you, preaching will come out of you. It gets inside you. It gets a bubbling up on the inside. And boy, I got an article right here. Somebody sent me. Matter of fact, two people sent it to me. Some lady named Caroline. I don't really know who the lady was that sent it to me. And it's about Brother Gary down in Rock Hill, South Carolina. And it said this. It said, street preachers spread the gospel near Main Street in Rock Hill. And it's got Gary there just a letting it rip. And it's really a good article. It really is. It talks about old Gary here. And it said, this is a calling for me. I don't do it for money or notoriety or to impress people. It said, I don't do it. I'm just a willing servant who's trying to reach people. Cannon can be found in the shade trees near the traffic lights across from the Wachovia building. He's been known to drop by on the way home from work or Sunday after church services. It depends on when the Spirit moves him. This was a calling for me, but Cannon says. He said, I just want folks to know that the Lord is everything we need. Rock Hill has been good for the Gastonian ministry. He said he believes in rush hour to go out is the best time. And he's preaching John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. That stuff, that was right in the paper. I'm the News Herald in Rock Hill. And then the second part of the article said this. I really thought you'd like this. It said this. He preaches down there all the time on the street. And it said this. It said, there's a lot of positive things that come out of this. But what I remember most, some people don't believe in miracles, but I've seen them happen. If you die tomorrow, now listen to this. He said in the paper, if you die tomorrow, will you go to heaven? He told him, been through some tough times, but the Lord's helped him. All that. People read that and get witness to. Here's the part. Listen to this. Buchanan said he was introduced to street preaching through the Reverend Danny Castle at a Shining Light Baptist Church of Morgan in North Carolina. And I said, praise God, hallelujah. Preaching begets preaching. That's like whales get whales, like horses, like dogs have dogs, preachers have preachers, amen. And I'm going to tell you tonight, brother, when God develops, we learn how to pray. Real preaching comes from praying. Real preaching is born when somebody prays. Get in the prayer closet, boys. Put your name in there on the roll and your nose in the book and pray till God puts something down in your heart. And that's the best preaching you'll ever do. Amen. That's right. He taught him how to pray. He taught him how to put others first. Now, if God's going to use you, you're going to have to learn to put other people first. Dan chapter 13, verse 9, you know what he told Lot? He didn't say, all right, Lot, I'm the preacher here. I'll go do what God wants me to do. And you take. He said, Lot, I'll let you choose. You go first, son, whichever way you choose. And God blessed him for that, too. You watch these people, it's always got to have first place. I mean, listen, if you want to be the leader, sit back and follow, and God will exalt you to be the leader. He let Lot choose whichever one he wanted, and God blessed him. You do understand that, don't you? I don't always do that, but I try to. You know, I took 10 kids home with me today. You see all of them sunburnt today, and you see some of them's wounded here today. And he went with me, but he ain't kid. Well, he is, but you know, he's an old kid. And Jeremy and Isabella and 10 more. There's 14 of us went home today. I went down to Ingles. I bought some hot dogs. Them Bar S, brother, they ain't but 79 cent a pack. And boy, I tell you, I throwed them babies on the grill and cremated them. I mean, I turned them black. And boy, we had a good time. And then they said, come on, Brother Danny. I said, I got to preach tonight. Come on, Brother Danny. I didn't want to fool with all that. I wanted to go home and see when the hurricane hit Pensacola. But I tell you what, I got out there and I thought, well, Lord, I'm going to do this for these kids so they'll church. And you know what? We got out there and playing blood ball in the pool, and we had a good game of blood ball. Amen. I whooped T2 and Jeremy both with one arm. No, I didn't either. That's a lie. We had some good blood ball though, didn't we? Amen. I'm telling this man right here is strong. He's strong. Anybody want to do it tonight? Come over tonight. We'll get in the pool and play ball. This man is strong. But smell ain't everything. And I'm going to tell you something. And he is too. But I'll tell you what, boy, we had a good time. I thought, Lord, if I'll just put them first, maybe you'll help me. And he has helped me. And he is helping me. Glory to God. Abraham learned to put other people first. I wouldn't take all them youngins home with me. They'll tear up what you got. Yeah, but God give me that. If they do tear it up, God give me another one. Amen. Somebody broke my pit table over the other day, and I'm waiting on somebody to come and confess it. There he is right there. It took you a week to confess. Okay, I got some carpet needs to be put down for you to redeem your sorry soul with, Dana. I'm going to tell you something, brother. Listen, amen. He learned to put others first. Not only that, he learned to hear God's voice. In chapter 13, verse 14, you wasn't even going to tell me, was you? Chapter 13, verse 14, that's what's bad. Man come tires up your stuff and don't even tell you about it. Put tennis shoes under my diving board. Make it get more spring than it'll break it. Genesis chapter 13, hypocrites. Genesis chapter 13. Verse 14, he said Lot was separated from him. Look up now, northward, southward, eastward, westward, and everything you see, I'm going to give it to you. He learned to hear God's voice. He learned how to help others. In chapter 14, verse 14, old Lot and him got carried away. Abraham said, bless God, I'm going to go help him. My brother's got carried away captive. I'll go help get my brother. Listen, if you want God to use you, be concerned about somebody beside your sorry self once in a while. Do something for somebody else. Do something. Give a little bit. One of the surest signs you're backslid is when you're skin tight with your money. You won't ever buy nobody nothing to eat. You won't ever take nobody out to eat. Hint, hint. You won't ever do anything for nobody. You're tight as a bark on a tree. You won't pay your tithes. And everything, it's me, 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 me. What about some people coming up to Dale tonight and say, yeah, Dale, I'll get up a Saturday night once in a while. I'll clean the house of God. You want God to use you? Be willing to serve a little bit. You know what I found out about preachers? Everybody wants to stand right here and be in the spotlight. I need some preachers. Come up here and clean the toilet Saturday night. Do I have any volunteers? When I'm going to be gone on Sunday morning, they'll say, who's preaching? Who's going to get to preach Sunday? And that's fine. You ought to want to preach. You ought to. But what about them toilets? Lord, it's getting quiet in here. Hey, brother, listen, brother, we ought to be willing to get down and do the dirt. Listen, you do something little, God will exalt you and let you do something big. If you're willing to serve, God will put you in leadership. Amen? That's right, brother. I know people, all they want is getting a spotlight. It ain't going to work like that. He learned how to help others. You see, when Lot got took captive by them, Abraham went and said, my brother's in trouble. I'm going to go help him. Instead of talking about somebody's backslid, instead of talking about, oh, I heard so-and-so's drinking. I heard so-and-so's shacking up. Instead of running your mouth about them, go like Abraham did and go to them and say, hey, I've come here to pray with you, and I've come to help you and get your life straightened out. I went and visited some yesterday who's backslid. And I knocked on the door and they didn't come to the door. And I knocked on the door and didn't come to the door. And I knocked on the door and they didn't come to the door. And maybe they wasn't home, but the vehicles was there and everything. And I beat on the door and they didn't come to the door. Then I went and got me a magic marker and wrote along the letters I could and stuck it in the door. You know why? Because if God has helped me, the least I can do is help somebody else a little bit. Don't be stingy and just save all your life for yourself. You say, well, I've got this and I've got this and I've got this. Well, you'll never be blessed and used of God till you give up a little bit of that and do something for the Lord and do something for other people. Amen? Not only that, he learned how to give. He learned how to give. Bible said in 14:20, old Melchizedek came down through there, and the Bible said Abraham paid him tithes of all. Now, the word tithe means tenth. That's what it means. It means one-tenth. Somebody said your tithe is whatever you feel led to give. You are crazy. The word tithe, the word means tenth. Whatever you want to give above that, then praise God. That's your offering. But your tithe is a tenth. That before the law had nothing to do with Moses, didn't have nothing to do with Exodus. That was, but somebody said, that's Old Testament law. You're crazy again. That was before Moses was born. Abraham gave God, through Melchizedek, one-tenth of everything. If you want, I know preachers that won't even tithe. I know people say, God use me, and won't even, listen, that's first base, brother. If you hadn't been paying your tithes, I'd get right with God tonight, and I'd say, God, forgive me. I'm going to put what you honored me with, I'm going to put it in a plate. My goodness, people, he lets you have 90%. Quit griping. God can let you live off 90% a whole lot better with his blessings on it than he can 100% with God's curse on it. Say amen right there. That's right. That's right, brother. Say amen. That's right. You better say amen or I'll think you're a God robber. Amen. I mean, if you're going to steal from somebody, you ain't supposed to steal from nobody. But if you got to steal from somebody outside the church. I wouldn't steal from the Lord. I won't steal from nobody. But if I steal something, I wouldn't steal it from the Lord. You know what? I don't know where offering plates are. I guess somebody stole them. They're around here somewhere. You know where they're at? They're back there. Where? They're in there. Nobody can't find them. It's all right. If that offering plate comes around, and you made $300 this week. If you made $300 this week, and that offering plate comes around like this, and your $30 don't go in that plate, you are stealing $30 from the Lord. The Malachi chapter 4 said, he said, you have robbed me. You have robbed me. You say, but I give in other ways. Don't start that stuff. I give in other ways too, brother. I spent money for hot dogs and buns and everything today down there. That's not my tithes. Amen. That's not my tithes. My tithes go in the... You say, but I help the church in other ways. So do I. But my tithes go in the offering plate. Whatever I do besides that, over and above, I feel a little kick right there. I don't tell you, you mess with me, I'll get on this 15 minutes, brother. We ought to got this said a long time ago. You honor God with them tithes, he'll bless you. Listen, you know what they did in Israel? They went around with shoes for 40 years. 40 years, brother, and they didn't wear out. Look at that. They didn't wear out 40 years. Them shoes didn't wear out. God can make your car last longer. God can make a roof last longer on your house. God can make that 90% go farther if you'll honor him and pay your tithes. You say, I don't believe that. Well, this is for believers. You're an unbeliever, and that's why you can't get a blessing. He taught him how to give. And then he taught him how to wait. Taught him how to wait. And he learned the hard way how to wait. You see, Abraham and Sarah wanted a baby. And they wanted a baby, and 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 wanted a baby. And they prayed and couldn't have no baby. One day, Abraham was sitting around. He was talking to Sarah, and they were way up in their 90s. Sarah was 90. And they said, well, we're going to have a young'un. God even told them he's going to have a young'un. But Abraham said, well, Sarah, now God said he's going to have, I reckon we better do our part. So him and her got together, and he said, I'll just take my handmaid here, and I'll have one of them surrogate babies or test tubes or something. But anyway, him and Hagar, the handmaid, Sarah took her handmaid, Hagar, and said, here, Abraham, you can have her to wife, and you have a baby, and it'll be just like my baby, and we'll raise this baby. Big mistake. God taught Abraham. Listen, God is well able to fulfill what he said without us trying to finagle around and help God do his work. You always make a mistake when you jump the gun and try to help God do what God said he would do. God told him Sarah's going to have a kid, and that's what he meant. You say, well, maybe it meant that he was going to have one through Hagar, but it was really going to be Sarah's to raise. That ain't what he said. God didn't say Hagar's going to have one and you raise it. But because it didn't make sense, they said, well, Hagar, I'm going to tell you something. Old Sarah was a good woman. She's a good woman. Is there any of you ladies that would let your husband have your housekeeper? And ladies and gentlemen, do you realize, because God's man Abraham, one of the things I've noticed about studying the Bible is that these men of God, their life was so great and God blessed them. But boy, when they messed up, they done a doozy, man. I ain't kidding. I mean, when they messed up royally. When Abraham had that little fella Ishmael by Hagar, Ishmael became the father of all them crazy people in Iraq. That's where they come from. You know what God said about him? He said he'll be a wild man. And every man's hand will be against him. And he's going to be against him. You can't talk to him. You can't negotiate with him. They're crazy. They got brown skin and long straight black hair. And they're crazy. They're from Iraq. They're from Afghanistan. They're Muslims. They're half-breed Jews. And that's why go high tonight. Because Abraham messed up. You wait till I see him. Abraham jumped the gun with Hagar. He hadn't done that. There'd have never been no Muslims. And Brother Gash would be about a gallon. Who would have ever thought 99 cents a gallon would be cheap? But God taught him how to wait. And then God taught him how to intercede. In Genesis 19, that God was going to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Guess who stepped up? Abraham, God's man. He said, God, don't destroy it. I got a nephew down there. God, please. God, please. That was Dr. Jack Howell's philosophy. God told him if he could find 10 righteous people in Sodom, he'd spare it. And Dr. Jack Howell always believed, and I couldn't argue with him, but he always believed that if we had enough soul winners, got enough people saved in America, God would spare America. And that could be tonight why God has spared America. I don't know that. We won't find out when we get to heaven. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. Listen, he said if I find 50 righteous people, will you spare it? God said, all right, I'll do it. He said, but what if there ain't 50? What if there's 40? He said, all right, I'll do it. What if there ain't but 30? All right, I'll do it. What if there's only 20? All right, I'll do it. He got him down to 15, got him down to 10. That's why they call him a Jew. Hey, you can Jew God down. You're pretty good, brother. He Jewed God down from 50 to 10. I want him on my side. I mean, God's wanting $50 for something. He Jewed him down to 10 at a yard sale. That's good, ain't it? He said, God, what if I ain't got but 40? The Lord said, all right, I'll take 40. He said, what if I ain't got but 20? All right, I'll take 20. God, what if I ain't got but 10? All right, I'll take 10. I ain't going down no more. But that's why they call him a Jew, brother. That's right, man. He Jewed him down. And he got him on down there to 10. And you know something, brother? He taught him how to intercede. He taught him how to intercede. And of course, because Lot was backslid, Lot, his wife, and his daughters, if he had just had two or three people saved, they could have spared the city of Gomorrah. But Lot was backslid, and they got destroyed. He taught him how to intercede. But he mistreated Sarah. He made another mistake. He lied about his wife. When he come into there, and the Lord don't grip these men's mistake. He tells their good points and their bad points so we can learn from their life. He went in there one time. Sarah was a pretty girl, buddy. I don't know what she looked like. Probably had long, black, straight hair, dark skin. You know, people say those are the prettiest beauty queens in the world, all that. You know, that Asia looking for whatever yins are. that look, you know. They said I was supposed to be beautiful, dark skin, black hair, and I went in there, and he, every time he'd go through one of them towns, one of them kings go, whoa, who you got with you there? And he thought, they're going to kill me. They're going to kill me. Come here, sister. Tell them you're my sister. I'm going to tell them you're my sister. Because if I tell them you're my wife, they'll kill me so they can have you. She said, she's my sister. And she sort of was his sister. Sort of. But sort of was his wife, too. You mean he married his sister? Well, something like that. They're both from West Virginia. But anyway, she was sort of related to him in a roundabout way. They had to do stuff like that back in them days. That's where you go find your wife in West Virginia, at a family reunion. But anyway, he said, tell him you're my sister. She said, I'm his sister. Which, you know, God bless your sister. You know, your wife is your sister if she's saved, sister in the Lord. And so that night, the wicked king got her in there and said, man, you're pretty. You're pretty, Charlene. You the prettiest thing I've seen in a long time. Will you marry me? And God said, I'll knock your head off if you touch her. He said, what? He said, she's a man's wife. Well, I didn't know it was a man's wife. Whose wife is it? It was Abraham. Brought her back out here. And he said, why didn't you tell me that was your wife? You said she's your sister. He said, well, she is my sister, but she's my wife too. I just didn't tell you that part. And God taught him how to trust. You don't have to help the Lord out like that. You don't have to help the Lord out like that. You don't have to twist and finagle and bend and cheat and everything to help God work out his plan in your life. Just do right and let him work it out. And he'll work it out. And I'm going to tell you something else. Before I'm going to tell you the last part and I'll be through. He taught him how to trust. Now listen to this. The ultimate test. Isaac was finally born. The seed of promise. Here was Isaac. The greatest young'un that had ever been born on the planet yet was Abraham's boy Isaac. In line, the messianic line of prophecy. Inherit everything Abraham had. Isaac. The seed of the spirit. Ishmael come in the flesh. Isaac come in the spirit. And here's Isaac growing up. And Sarah was 90 and Abraham was 99. I guess she's 91 and he's 100 when he's born. Something like that. And one night God speaks to him and he says, Abraham, take thy son, chapter 22, and take him up yonder and sacrifice him. How would you feel if you waited 99 years for a child? And then God told you had to give him up. And he's going to kill him. Now that's what makes a liberal professor say, now there's no way God would have done it. Well, he did do it. God told him, he said, take him up there and sacrifice him. And as far as we know from the Bible, now we don't know what all transpired in there, but from the Bible, as far as I know, Abraham never argued with God. He got up and grabbed that boy and got a sack of wood and took off up that mountain. Now there's your man of God. There's your man. I bet Sarah didn't like it. It didn't matter what Sarah liked. Sarah didn't call him. I tell you, there's a lot of preachers can't do nothing because their wife won't let them. Amen? I know preachers. Well, honey, you better not. Just shut up and let the man do what God called him to do. Amen? You're supposed to be a helpmate, not a hindering mate. Sarah, I don't even know if he told Sarah. Abraham would have never made it to the Promise Keepers meeting. You know what they'd have told Abraham? A decision without your wife. But he said, God told me to do it. There ain't no deciding to it. There ain't nothing to pray about. God said, do it. Now, I'm not saying take advantage of that man, but I'm just saying this, brother. If God says do something, there ain't nothing to pray about. He said, turn up there and kill him. I don't know what she said. I doubt if she said, praise the Lord. I don't know what she said. I don't know what she said. And I don't blame her. I wouldn't have said, praise the Lord, neither. Maybe she said, honey, if that's what God told you to do, that's what you got to do. You know, the Lord tell you to do some things sometimes.
that you think, why in the world? God, this don't make sense. God, this can't be right. God, why you can't? This is crazy. But God told him to do it. And he walked up that hill. There's little Isaac. Daddy, where are we going? Son. He looked at that little old boy and saw him. I don't know how old Isaac was here. But he got him up there and laid the wood down. Got the fire ready. He said, we're going up on the mountaintop to sacrifice. And we'll come again. I don't know. I've heard preachers say it that Abraham in the back of his mind knew. I don't know. Maybe he did. Maybe he did. Because he did say, I and the lad will go there and come again. He did say that. Somehow or another, he knew God was going to do something. But I'll tell you one thing, brother. He had every intention of killing that boy. He did. You say, oh, he knew God wasn't going to make him do it. I don't think he did. I believe he had every intention of killing that boy. Let me ask you something. Are you willing to give your kids to God? Boy, you talk about feeling like a hypocrite. I've got up before and preached, bless God, you ought to surrender and go to the mission field. Somebody needs to go to Burma and somebody needs to go to South America. Go to the mission field, young people. And something said, what if he calls one of your girls? I'd say, I don't want one of my girls to go to South America and live. And I don't. I ain't lying to you. I don't. If God wanted them to, I guess I'd accept it. But I don't want one of my, I don't want one of them living over 5 miles from me. Amen. I want my girls at home where they're supposed to be until they get married where they're supposed to be, and that can't be far away. Amen. And I've raised them all their life, brother, and I don't want to give them up. I don't. May have to, but I don't want to. And Abraham took that boy up there and he said, now, son, he looked around and he said, Daddy, can you imagine that? Daddy, here's the wood. Here's the fire. But where's the sacrifice? And Abraham, somehow prophesying without even realizing it, said, son, God will provide a lamb. Lord, have mercy. My mind shoots 40 million miles up through John and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where John said, behold, the Lamb of God taketh away the sin of the world. And he said, son, it's going to be you. Daddy, you're going to burn me? Lay down, son. And he wrapped them cords around his own son. God may not ask you to give up your children, but he's going to get you, you're going to get to the point where you're willing to. I remember Kathy Park used to sing that song, and when she get to that part, I wouldn't even sing it. Said, whatever it takes for my will to break. Take my houses and land. Change my dreams and my plan. That's easy to sing, hard to practice. Let me ask you something tonight. If God asks you to give up everything, your family, your kids and everything, are you willing to do that for him tonight? You say, God wouldn't. He loves me and he wants me happy. Sometimes the Lord puts some hard things on people. If he's going to use you, he'll make you go through some tough decisions. And he put that little old boy on there, and he got ready.